Jason M. Burns, 97.3 Cairo Radio. I am Zach Burns, along with Jason Rantz. We have on the phone with us the newly elected congressional representative from District 7, Pramila Jayapal. Pramila, good evening. Congratulations.
Good evening, and thanks very much. Appreciate it.
I imagine you're looking at your own race, and obviously you're super excited to represent the 7th District, a district that I think a lot of people have pointed out has not been very meaningful in Congress. But then you look at the national election and you say, oh, wow, Republicans are going to have a lot of power, specifically with Donald Trump and, you know, a lead still in the House. So what are your thoughts so far moving in as a freshman congressperson?
Well, you know, it's certainly been a bittersweet moment for many of us. I think incredibly sweet in terms of the decisive victory that we won and the incredible Canaan grassroots organization we put together. With over 1,100 active volunteers and 10,000 hours of time and so much work and energy in building the coalition that helped make the victory possible. I think that, you know, looking at the national level, I think that this has been a shock for many people in the city of Seattle and across the country. And I think we don't yet know exactly what all of it means. I don't think that there is a simple story to be told from this election. I think it's clear that we've got some big challenges ahead of us. I would argue that the 7th Congressional District is incredibly relevant to the country in terms of, you know, really standing up for some very strong, bold ideas, putting those forward in places that you might be surprised. I mean, Arizona went for Trump, but also passed a minimum wage increase and also threw out Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's been notoriously anti-immigrant and, you know, forwarded some really incredibly bad policies. So I think that we have a lot of work to do to make sure that we fully understand and respond to the economic anxieties that are out there for people. And I'm very grateful for both Republican and Democratic votes across the 7th District. I intend to do everything I can to stand up for the values of this district and also look for the opportunities that we can to come together around some of the very real challenges that people face on a day-to-day basis.
Are there members of the House that you're already kind of targeting as potential allies, whether they be Democrat, which seems to be more likely, and Republican? Are there certain people that you're going to introduce yourself to on the very first day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do what I did for the state Senate. When I went into the state Senate, I actually sat down and did a little map of every single person in the state Senate, starting with the Republicans, actually. And I got to know where they came from and what was important to them, met with every single one of them. This is going to be a little harder, obviously, with 435 people in the House. But I have worked on immigration issues for a long time with people on both sides of the aisle. And I certainly do have 22 members of Congress who endorsed me. And those are certainly a first place to go, as well as some people who just got elected, people like Jamie Raskin from Maryland, who I've been in touch with even before Election Day. So lots of relationships already existing and then lots of new ones to build.
And you've also had complimentary statements made for Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan. He recently introduced a better way, a different type of policy that's more, I don't know, emotionally driven rather than the just say no to everything. So do you actually see yourself working with someone like Paul Ryan, who obviously has his set of conservative policies that he's going to be pushing?
Well, it depends so much on what Paul Ryan stands for and what he does. You know, is he even going to be the next speaker? I assume so, but I've also, you know, I think we have to wait and see. I think it depends on what Donald Trump is like as a president versus as a candidate. I don't think we know the answer to that question yet. Paul Ryan has been actually very good on immigration issues. I mean, relatively speaking, very good on immigration issues, and would be somebody that I think would want to work on getting comprehensive immigration reform through. But I think a lot of it depends on where the control of the Republican Party is going to lie, with which faction is it going to lie, and how are Republicans in the House going to respond to the election? Because if they respond by saying there are many economic issues that we need to address, of white working class people and people, you know, across this country, working families across this country. And if we look at minimum wage as an example and the increases in minimum wage that Republican and Democratic states have been passing, and if they were to say, you know, that is something we have to address, which I think they would be very smart to do as a party, then I'm going to be right there working with them. If they are going to push policies that kick out Muslims simply for their religion or try to deport 11 million undocumented immigrants, which, by the way, would collapse our economy, then I'm going to be standing up against those things. So I think it all depends on which direction they choose to go. And I will look for every opportunity that I can to work together. But I also know that the 7th Congressional District elected a fighter, elected a bold progressive champion who will stand up for the values of the 7th District. I think people want both. They want to get policies done, but they also want to make sure that we remind ourselves of who we are as a country and that we stand up for those values. And as a 16-year-old, you know, as somebody who came here as a 16-year-old immigrant and now is going to represent, I think, the best district in the country, I think, you know, I am going to make sure that I really stay true to those American values that have meant so much to me individually and, you know, to all of us as a country.
Okay, Pramila, so you brought up some of the more extremist positions that I don't really believe anyone in the House actually, you know, thinks where we're going to be deporting 11 million people. And obviously you're going to stand up and say no to those. What are some of the issues that maybe you'd be more willing to move to the center on just to get some sort of effective compromise?
Well, I think we talked about this on immigration. You know, this is an issue that Republicans and Democrats agree on. There was way too much, in my opinion, money put into border security in the bill that we wrote in 2013 that did pass the Senate with 67 bipartisan votes. We know what a compromise looks like on immigration reform. We've actually worked that through and passed it with bipartisan votes in the United States Congress, in the U.S. Senate anyway. And so I think we've all moved tremendously and we know what the answers are. So I think that's one area where we've got a lot of agreement. I think minimum wage is actually another area. I mean, it may not be that the agreement is for 15, but I do think people understand that we have not raised the minimum wage in this country for far too long. And if we were to keep up with inflation, we would be somewhere up around $21. So we have got to address the very real concerns of working people across the country on minimum wage with some sort of a federal minimum wage increase. So I think that's another one. And I also think that there's a, you know, we've done some good things in the state legislature around investing in higher education. There are gaps in workforce skills and training. There are a lot of factory workers across this country who desperately need investments in pre-apprenticeship and workplace training that I think are really good places for us to come together and figure out how we serve some of the most vulnerable amongst us.
Does any part of you believe that Donald Trump has the ability to potentially be a good president?
Well, I have this this disease, you might call it, of believing the best of everybody. And I am completely willing to believe that, that we have to hope for the best and that we have to believe that Donald Trump will understand the significance of the role he is about to assume, not only for the United States of America, but for the entire world. And I am going to hold out every hope that he can be a good president, and I'm going to be ready at every level to make sure that he is a good president if that is not where he's going.
Congresswoman-elect, I have one very quick question. We've only got about 20 seconds left. Just what was your reaction to the speech by Donald Trump last night?
Well, believe it or not, it took us so long to get our election results that I didn't hear Donald Trump's speech last night, so I've only caught pieces of it this morning. And I think, you know, his speech was hopeful. I think that he put out some, you know, he congratulated Hillary Clinton. He talked about bringing the country to unity. I think those are very, very important things that he's put out there. And let's see how this all goes forward. But I have got to hold out hope that for somebody who's assuming one of the most important, if not the most important leadership role in the world, that he understands the consequences of any action that he takes and any words that he might utter from now on.
Newly elected representative from the 7th District, Pramila Jayapal, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and congratulations.
Thank you so much to both of you.
Jason and Burns, 97.3 Cairo Radio.